pushers, the environmental thugs, the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Man, oh man, what a beautiful day this morning. We've had several here in the Dallas, Fort Worth area. Cool and very uncharacteristic. I'm sure a lot of you across the country are seeing the same thing as the cold front pushed down. I hope you're having good weather. It's terrific weather to do gardening, and we'll talk about that. It's perfect timing to get the fall garden started. We'll talk about that quite a bit. Any kind of questions that you have, comments, complaints, whatever, about how things are going, let me know. The telephone number is the same as always, only one you need from anywhere. It's 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by Victor Dog Food, victordogfood.com. is where you go, and I recommend you do check out the photographs there and on their Facebook page, both. Terrific products, terrific company. They don't use any corn, wheat, soy, or any of the things that everybody has figured out is bad now for a long time, and they also have a line of grain-free products. I've had several questions lately about dog problems, pet problems in general, and one of the things that I always recommend, if you're not doing it already, is to go to a product like Victor that has no chemical preservatives and has none of that, none of those ingredients that tend to lead to gut issues and allergies and things like that. So if you haven't tried Victor yet, I recommend that you do. VictorDogFood.com, V-I-C-T-O-R. And I got some good news. From last week, Susie was adopted, and Pinky, Maisie, Aurora, and Minnie Pearl were adopted, too. That's terrific. And this week's pet is, I couldn't print this out, so I'm having to read it off the computer here, but I think I got it here. This week's dog from the SPCA here in Dallas is Cabbage Rose. She's a three-year-old female, 10-pound miniature pincher. She and some of her friends came together on May the 28th. So, well, she's been around a while, and she's a sweet little girl, loves to be close to people. She's a little shy at first, but she warms up quickly. She's looking for a place to snuggle. She's been spayed, microchipped, and received all of her age-appropriate vaccinations. So check her out. Beautiful color, big old ears, and looks like a good choice for somebody who needs a smaller dog. 10-pound miniature pincher, Cabbage Rose. And you can see her picture and, of course, all the dogs that we try to help with on our website on dirtdoctor.com. And I'll start by saying that our website is full of a lot of information. It's very deep. You can go there and get a lot of free information. It does have a members only area that you can join if you want to. Click the green button over there on the left-hand side, and it tells you all about how that works. You can sign up for our free newsletter, which is weekly. Comes out different time every week, and that's probably how it's always going to be. That's just how we function. But one subject at a time, everybody, for the most part, likes it. You can bail if you don't want to get it every week. But to get it, all you have to do is give us your email address. Just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. Or easier, fill out the form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and you are there. The one that's just now going out as we speak is about fly control, and we talk about the bags, water bags for fly control, and how to control those nasty blood-sucking flies that bother dogs like Cabbage Rose that have upright ears. You know, they bite and suck the blood out of the ears of dogs, and a lot of people have trouble with those, and we've had trouble with them in the past, too. It's a simple solution for you that we have in the newsletter. But I'll tell you right now, it's simple. Just pick up the poop. And what I do is I put it in the metal cans with the food waste from the house. And that is especially good to do. And no, I don't have any problem putting the pet droppings in the compost, period. But if you put it in with food scraps from the kitchen, you will stimulate the growth of a beneficial insect that a lot of people are terrified of when they first see it, but it's actually beneficial, called the black soldier fly. And the black soldier fly is an excellent pollinator. It looks like a real pretty wasp, black, blue-black wasp. But it's not a wasp. It's a fly. It doesn't sting, doesn't do any damage at all. It's just totally beneficial. And if you're interested in growing your own fish food or fish bait or a source for chitin, it's an extremely easy larva to grow by the jillions by simply using food scraps from the kitchen, a little pet waste in there with it, and that makes a big difference. When I don't do the pet waste, they don't grow very well. They don't. You have a few, but not very many. You put the two together, and it just explodes. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, you can go to dirtdoctor.com and go to the library where everything's in alphabetical order and look up a black soldier fly, and there's pictures of one of my metal cans with a tremendous volume of those larvae in the container. Let me see what else we need to do. And by the way, jump on board here. We're going to go to the phones pretty quickly, and it's wide open. 866-444-3478. Got a few things to do, but not a whole lot. My tea, same as last week. I liked last week's hibiscus, orange peel, rose hip, and a big handful of chocolate peppermint and honey, local honey. It's really good. So give it a try. I talked with Bob Webster, as usual, yesterday on his show. We do a 30-minute visit most every Saturday. We missed last week because I was on the road and Bruce Dooley was filling in, and for some reason, whoever was running things didn't get the message that I needed to be called on my cell phone, and we missed a week, and we do that from time to time. We're not there 100%. But almost every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, and that moves around some, I visit with Bob, and we talked about a couple of things I wanted to pass on to you. First of all, we've talked about fall gardening and what he likes to plant in the fall and what I like to plant. One of the things that he's done that I haven't tried yet and I'm going to is a specific tomato that you might want to jot down and give a whirl, and it's called Valley Girl. It's one of the tomatoes really seems to function well when planted now in July for a fall crop. You can use a lot of other things. In fact, his and my Juliet's are still producing like crazy, and it works spring and fall. The indeterminate tomatoes that you may have had from the spring, yeah, you can keep them going, and yes, you can prune them. If they're getting too wild and going all over the place, you can prune them. When you prune tomatoes, don't prune near nodes like we do with woody plants. Prune right in the middle of the inner node, right in the middle of the stem between two nodes, because when you prune, it starts dying back, and it moves fairly quickly, and it will do too much damage if you do it near a node. It'll kill the nearest node. So do it right in the middle of the inner node, and you'll have good luck. One of them that is an indeterminate that definitely goes through to the fall that we have and a lot of you out there have tried now, I know, is one called Super Fantastic. But any of the indeterminates that you might have, they can be kept right in through till fall. If you had indeterminates, you probably want to replant. Let's see, bush beans, squash, cucumbers, you know, all those kinds of things. You can plant another round if you have things that are already going and kind of relatively under control size-wise and everything. You don't need to tear them out and plant something else. But it is time for that fall garden planting. We talked about removing Bermuda grass. Bob had a call. I was listening to his show before things before I went on, and one of the questions came up about Bermuda grass and getting rid of it. And Bob was talking about doing solarization, and it's okay. It's something that you can do. I haven't had great luck with it. You can get information on our website in the library, again, about covering areas after wetting the area down with water, cover with plastic, clear or black, leave it on there. You have to take it off, re-wet it, and redo it, so it's a lot of trouble. I got a better recommendation. I'll tell you about it when I come back. Howard Garrett, 866-444-3478. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. The thing I was going to tell you real quickly before we go to the phones, and then I'll work in a few other things as we go, was that to remove Bermuda grass, if you're putting in a new bed, which, you know, we hope you're thinking about doing, and if you haven't already done it lately, for herb gardens, vegetable gardens, new landscaping, or whatever, and you have existing grass there, and it doesn't matter whether it's bluegrass, fescue, Poa annua, Bermuda, Buffalo, St. Augustine, Zoysia, or whatever. What I recommend to do to remove it is the best choice, and there are some other ways to go too, which we will discuss today, but the best way to go by far, and this is what I told Bob and he and I discussed on his show, scalp it, scalp the area as severely as you can and rake all that up, scoop it up, and throw it in the compost pile, and then get a sod cutter or hire a landscape contractor to bring a sod cutter and set the depth at 2 inches and cut 2 inches of sod out of the area, throw that in the compost pile. You do not have to get the roots out. The roots of grasses are not regenerative. They're not, they don't propagate the plant. What does, the only thing that does, is the stems and the crown of the plant, if it's clump grasses. And all that's in the top 1 to 2 inches. So cut it out 2 inches, throw it away. Do not ever till before you do that. You can scalp it. That doesn't hurt anything at all. But don't till it, because that tilling drives the rhizomes and the stolons down the ground, and it'll be a problem for you forever, basically. Technique works. We've had landscape contractors debate us on it and finally try it, and it worked well. So you can rent sod cutters. They're now a lot lighter and easier to use than they used to be. Or the best way to go, of course, is to get a nursery, garden center, or a landscape contractor to come do it for you. If they want to take it out by hand, that's fine with flat shovels, but you have to be a lot more careful about leaving some of those stems in the ground that way compared to the ease of doing it with a sod cutter. Golf course people, of course, been doing it for a long time, and some landscape contractors have too, so give it a shot. Okay, we'll go to the phones, and then we'll work in a few more things for you as we go. First up this morning, Carol in Cleburne, Texas. Hi, Carol.
Hi, I had a question. My son has put in a little garden, you know, and at his place he started putting in the animal waste. And in my gardens, I always was under the impression that you should not use animal waste in a compost that you're going to be using the compost for vegetables?
Well, a lot of people say that and write it and recommend against it and all that, and they're especially cat manure. There's a disease that can be, transferred to people, especially pregnant women. But it's always been my argument that it's a lot more dangerous to be around it, the kitty litter, the cat boxes and stuff like that, than a composted product. You know, you see what I mean? Because the composting disassembles a lot of the things that are a problem in the waste.
And okay. And then if he is, I mean, because he has a couple cats, so if he does use a cat, mess, the litter, it should be more of the natural, like corn and wood type litter, right? Because the clay might be too harsh on the plants.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's not good for the animals either. The clay kitty litter products, I highly advise you to avoid.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And the ones that we do recommend are things like zeolite. There are some paper products that are pretty good. There's a corn-based product, or it's all corn, I guess. All those are great. But the clay that clumps real well, and that's why they try to use it, sometimes they can get ingested a little bit and can be a problem for the animal. So avoid the clay products. Avoid products that have any kind of chemical additives and things like that. Just natural zeolite is hard to beat. That's
okay.
My
and then,
favorite.
And then he has flies, around the compost.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking how, he could have some good flies. I mean, should he worry about the flies? I mean, I didn't like the flies when I saw them, but I thought, okay, you got to do something. But so are the flies okay?
Well, some are pests and some are very beneficial. My current newsletter, like I was saying, you may have missed me talking about it, is about fly control. And I talk about the different kinds of flies and what I recommend. And if you have flies that are the kind that are pests and a problem, going to Arbico and buying fly parasites, if it's a real serious problem, and especially for commercial people out there, that's the way to go. Minor problems and flies around restaurants and around patios and things like that can be repelled with bags of clear water, clear bags
okay.
with water in them.
Okay.
And then there's other techniques, too. And it's all covered in the current newsletter. If you're not getting the newsletter, it'll be up on our Facebook, and it'll be on the website in the archives
okay,
pretty soon.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
But the main thing to leave you with here is that the manure, the pet waste, can be used in bed preparation and whatnot that we deal with, but it needs to be composted first.
Now, does it need to be composted for like 18 months or something like that?
No, you just need to compost it until it's broken down, and that depends on what the ingredients are as to how fast it's going to go. Information about that on my site, too. Got to run,
great.
But I appreciate
Thank
your call.
You.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. One real quick thing, and we'll talk more about it as we go, but we've got something brand new for you here from Dirt Doctor. We've been working on it for a while, and it's not fully completed in the way it's going to function, but it is functioning to a degree, and you may want to check it out. We have an app now for the show, so you can listen by punching on the app that you put on your smartphone and listen to the show while it's streaming live. That's what's up and running now. You can do that now. Just go to the App Store and get the Dirt Doctor app. It's free and gives you a convenient way to listen to the show. What it does now that will be changing is that for the rest of the time, Salem is running, I think they're running various kind of programming there that they have. What will happen, and I think that, I'm pretty sure, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, I think it's been lined up that it's going to be able to have podcasts running during the week of past shows, so you can catch up on things with the app anytime and listen to the live broadcast while the show's going on, which is right now. And by the way, those of you listening in certain parts of the United States where the show is not run exactly when it's live in Dallas, and that's the case in some of our markets, we're running live 3 hours in Dallas, the Dallas Central Time, 8 o'clock in the morning until 11. So you can listen on the app then, or then later on to podcasts. And I hope that helps you out. We got an open line if you want to jump on here too at 1-866-444-5787. 3478. Here's Miles in Arlington, Texas. Hi, Miles.
Good morning, sir. I have a question and maybe a comment about fire blight on a pear tree.
Okay.
Last year, I discovered that my little pear tree, about 24 years old, suddenly started developing fire blight. And I trimmed off the parts that were affected, but naturally it just kept right on going. So this winter, I guess like in February, I had just cut off the parts of the tree that I couldn't reach. It was about 30 feet tall. So I only cut it down to about 7 feet. And I did an experiment. I know that one of the things that's sprayed on pear trees that's really, you just about have to wear a hazmat suit to put it on is some kind of a copper compound. So what I did was I had a bunch of number 12 copper wire cut in little half-inch pieces and just drove it into the tree down in the roots and just all over the place. When the tree started to... when the springtime came and it started to get all green and everything, it still had some of the fire blight, but then after about a month, it seemed to go away. And I'm just wondering if maybe I actually accomplished something with the copper, because I know
now, how'd you put the copper on again?
I cut the number 12 copper wire into all about little one-inch pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Just used a hammer and drove it into the tree.
Okay.
Because the cambium layer is just right under the bark, and I knew that the copper would probably or possibly be transported all around the tree. I have some exposed roots down on the ground, so I drove a bunch of little copper wire down in the roots so it would get to the whole tree, probably. And right now, it's growing nice and green.
Well, it's an interesting question. You bring up several points that we need to talk about. The first one is I don't like copper products, period. You mentioned that some people recommend copper products that you need a hazmat suit from. When a copper sulfate or any of the liquid copper products or any time you're dealing with any single element, it's dangerous. You can use too much and cause a chemical type in the soil. Some of the things are, you know, dangerous to be around. And copper is one of those things, believe it or not, if you're around copper products a lot. Copper sulfate, for example, which is recommended still in some states. In some states, it's becoming illegal to use. But it's a very dangerous product that some people use for disease control. And I guess some people could have recommended it for fire blight. I've never done that. There's some other copper products that I guess could possibly be used, but I think you'd have minimal success with it compared to what I'll tell you about that works better. But the other thing is most of the chemical people recommend not copper, but agricultural streptomycin sprayed when the plants are in bloom. And they say, and I've parroted that in the past too, because I didn't know him better, that the only time you can control fire blight is to spray while the plant is in flower. Well, through the years, we started experimenting with hydrogen peroxide, as you know, and I've got an experiment going right now where I had fire blight show up on a little apple tree in our experimental gardens, and it's an apple tree called Yates that one of my listeners recommended, and it was grown in cooler climates than here, and so I wanted to give it a try. Well, fire blight showed up in a couple of spots in it. What I did, rather than cut the tree way back like you did and foul up the form of the tree and everything, I snipped the brown, you know, burned-looking foliage off and sprayed immediately with hydrogen peroxide and then sprayed later the whole tree with a Garrett juice mixture with hydrogen peroxide added at about 16 ounces per gallon. And the fire blight has not shown its face to come back in any way. And you can do that. The nice thing about that technique is that you can do it anytime the fire blight shows up. Now, on a plant that you know is susceptible to fire blight, like pears and ornamental pears and fruiting pears and other kinds of things in the rose family, you should spray on, and we recommend this, of course, on a maintenance schedule of spraying the Garrett juice. And for the plants maybe that are susceptible, you could put the hydrogen peroxide in as a preventative if you know you have a plant that has had that issue in the past. I don't have a huge problem with what you did, Miles, at all, and it possibly could work. I'm a little surprised that the copper would be available to the plant from the wire, but maybe it is. My problem with your technique is it's too much trouble, and probably on a larger scale it wouldn't be cost effective because copper is pretty expensive.
Yeah, that's true. But I had lots of copper wire in my toy box, so I thought, okay, well, it's not doing anything right now. Might as well see what happens.
Well, I appreciate the story. It's interesting, but I will tell you that the hydrogen peroxide will shut it down anytime it shows up, and this goes for any kind of plant. It'll also work with a whole host of other diseases as well. A key is to spray the cuts and the tools in between cuts and in between plants with the hydrogen peroxide. It is available commercially in concentrated form from 28% to 33%, or you can just use the grocery store or drugstore 3% stuff. Mix it at different rates, of course.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I was unaware of the hydrogen peroxide. I've been through your library a lot, and could be it was late at night, and I was daft and just didn't pick up on it.
Well, the hydrogen peroxide has really kicked up in our conversation the last several months because we tried it on rose rosette, which is a viral-like disease is what they call it, that all the university people say has no cure. And all you can do is tear the plants out and throw them away and don't ever plant any roses again the rest of your life. It's kind of a strange recommendation they give. And we tried doing the sick tree treatment with hydrogen peroxide added to the Garrett juice part of the program. And lo and behold, it works like a charm. So
That's interesting because I use hydrogen peroxide on myself all the time, and it works really well.
Well, what it does is it kills those microbes, and when it's killing the microbes on a cut or a scrape on your hand or leg, and foaming up, it's killing those bacteria. Well, that's exactly what it does on fire blight. But fire blight is a bacterial disease, and it works exactly the same way.
Okay. Yeah, I'd gotten the idea from the show I watched on the History Channel about ships, and they used to use copper plating on ships to inhibit all the little microbes that like to go live in the wood and make them apart.
Yeah. Well, your technique sure might work, and it's fine. It's not, it's not solid copper is not going to be toxic to anybody in any way. It's just a matter of is that more trouble than you need to be dealing with? The other thing we're seeing with the hydrogen peroxide is that it has a long lasting effect. The copper might as well, but you might try both. Next time it pops up somewhere else, try both and keep us posted on which one worked better.
Yeah, I'll sure do that.
Appreciate the call.
All right, you have a great day.
Thanks, Miles.
You bet.
And we got wide open lines, so you got an opportunity to jump on here right now at 866-444-3478. Gives me an opportunity to finish what I wanted to talk about with you. Another thing that came up on Bob's show was railroad ties, and Bob had kind of a soft stance on railroad ties that surprised me just a little bit. I've got a much harder stance on them, and I told him that basically my philosophy on ties is that if there is enough toxic chemical, creosote, in the wood to keep the wood from rotting, it's far too dangerous to be around and touching and have your kids touching and leaching into, especially vegetable gardens and things like, some universities in the past have recommended it to be used for raised beds around herb gardens and vegetable gardens. And I think if there's enough of the poison, which is what it is. It's, it was identified as a carcinogenic a long time ago. It was one of the first chemicals it was. If there's enough of that stuff still in it to keep the wood from rotting and make it a good wall for your bed, it's way too toxic to have. If there's not enough of that creosote left in it because it has aged out in the sun over the decades or whatever, to keep it from rotting, it's going to rot. So it's a bad investment from that standpoint. So I don't recommend wood too much, period, but I certainly don't recommend railroad ties. We'll talk about any subject you want. 866-444-3478. I got one more quick thing to do, and we'll go back to the phones. Back after this. Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best. But Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Without good health, little else matters.
Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I'm putting a new post on Facebook with photographs of my ground cover in my front yard that's got an interesting thing going on that I wanted to show you. I'll try to get it up at the next break. What it is Persian ivy. We have Persian ivy front yard, basically, and because of some storm damage that we had in one of the last storms, there's a new shaft of direct sunlight that gets through. And it's fascinating. Right where it hits the Persian ivy, it's burning it, and it's burning it pretty badly. I mean, bad enough to where I may have to add some additional perennials or fern or something else in that one spot. But it's just precisely where the sunlight hits it for, you know, probably no longer than an hour and a half period of time. But I'll put those pictures on there for you. And another thing that I wanted to tell you about real quickly before we go back to Thorny. By the way, we still have an open line. Jump on here. We'll go back in just a second here. 866-444-3478. I visited a really cool place lately this past week. Daryl, the snake man that you hear call in on the show from time to time, has been telling me about the Rogers Wildlife Rehabilitation Center now for a while. And I finally got out there to meet him, met Kathy, the owner, and several of the people working there, and a lot of wonderful animals, especially birds. They do rehabilitation of animals, but specifically birds. And I've got some shots, some photographs that I took while I was there on Facebook. So go to Facebook and check it out. You'll have to scroll down a little bit because there's a couple of things now on top of it. And this information about Persian ivy will be too. But I think you'll enjoy the photographs, especially the photographs of the owls. Owls have always been one of my favorites and my family's favorite. And some of the owl shots that I got, I recommend that you go out there if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and see the place and take a tour and meet some of these animals, the emu, the llama, the pelican that has half of one wing missing and is very friendly to a degree, and the free-flying vultures that are there, that the mama's there, but the whole herd is there and free flies in and out. Screech owls, barred owls, barn owls, all kinds of really terrific birds. It is a nonprofit organization that needs help, as a lot of nonprofits do, but I recommend this place that you go see, and if you've got any ability to give them a hand with what they do, I think you'll really be pleased at what their work is. It's Rogers Wildlife, and again, photographs about it on my Facebook that you can check out. Let's go back to the phone. Leroy in Colorado Springs. Hello, Leroy.
Good morning there. How you doing?
Doing very well.
Very good. Yeah, I have a question about aspen trees. A few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I planted two aspens in my backyard, and now I've got like maybe two dozen of them now. The little shoots spring everywhere, and they can't seem to put them down. I tried spraying and killing them. The shoots would, I cut them down below the grass. I cut them out with a weed cutter. But one time I sprayed one of the shoots with some Roundup. And that tree died.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons we don't recommend Roundup. We've got a pretty weak connection, Leroy, so it's a little bit hard hearing you. But you've got little aspen trees growing up around some larger ones that you planted. Is that basically what the question is?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and using Roundup, as you've learned, is a terrible thing to do. It usually isn't very effective on woody plants, but every once in a while it can transfer into plants and kill trees. We had an example of it here in Dallas where people, the city actually sprayed a bunch of pavestone in a median to kill weeds, Bermuda grass, and various things. And the trees in the median were live oaks, and it killed a whole lot of trees. And so people saying Roundup won't hurt, you know, anything other than what the foliage, what hits the foliage, don't really know what they're talking about. So stay away from that stuff. The bad news is that shoots from aspen, just like poplars and just like, a lot of other trees that we deal with, jujubes that way, there's a lot of trees that will have root sprouts coming up. And when those sprouts are growing off of the roots, spraying them with anything that I recommend is not really worthwhile, vinegar or fatty acids, because you're going to kill the foliage, but they're just going to come right back because they're growing off the mother plant's root system. So all you can do is keep mowing them down and cutting them down. It's a genetic kind of thing that some trees have and some trees don't. But the only other solution, of course, in your case, you lost the main tree. But hopefully if you plant more aspen, they won't be the kind that sucker up so bad.
Okay.
I'll put you on hold if you had something else, but that's, I'm afraid, all you can do is cut them away. Same thing happens on persimmons. We've got a rent property that has big common persimmons in the backyard, and they pop up in the front yard off the root system. And all you can do is mow them off, cut them off by hand, that kind of thing, and try to stay ahead of them. And they'll tend to, with an organic program, become less of a problem over time, but you'll never get completely rid of them unless you get rid of the mother tree, which unfortunately is what happened with Leroy's tree with the Roundup. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, hour two coming up. The number to be with me is 866-444-3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com.